My daughter has to have every new fashion that comes along, Barbara was complaining, and I can't afford it anymore, now that she's 15. Our latest fight was over a $65 pair of boots. I finally told her, that's it. If you want $65 boots, go get a job. I can't seem to make her understand that there are limits to how much money we have to spend. But even if I had it, I still think she should earn at least part of her own money for things like that. My ex-wife complains about money, too, observed Frank. But she claims I spend too much money on the kids. I don't agree. It doesn't seem to me that she and her new husband give the kids enough to get by on. Barbara interrupted. You know how I feel about that. She's at least trying to teach her kids something about the value of money. I wish I'd tried the same thing when my daughter was younger. Your kids will never learn if you come along and buy them whatever they want, especially if it's something your ex-wife doesn't think they should get. Remember the $25 watch you gave your son? It wasn't 3 weeks before it was lost. The thing that frustrates me and your former wife is that you'll buy him another watch and you'll do it just because you feel guilty about the divorce. As long as you keep doing that, those kids will never learn to be responsible for anything. You obviously don't have to be divorced to feel guilty. Just ask Jane, said Jim, as he joined the conversation. He nodded in the direction of his wife, who was hoping they could get back to the card game. Money and the kids was a very touchy subject at their house right now, and Jane certainly didn't expect to be discussing it with two of their divorced friends. It had never occurred to her that either Barbara or Frank would have problems with their own kids over money. Jim went on. The cruise we took a month ago was something we'd saved for a long time. We owed ourselves a real vacation now that the kids are older. But we hadn't been back a week when our 17-year-old son Matt announces that he's found a great car for only $750, and can we help him out with some cash? Jane said we'd try, and I said no way. Since then, all I hear from Matt is how we can afford to go on a cruise but can't help him out with a few measly $100. And Jane keeps telling me how we should try harder to be helpful. She thinks I'm being unfair, and I say she's feeling guilty just because we finally spent a couple of bucks on ourselves. But that's not it at all, Jane responded quickly. The car was a good buy, and why shouldn't we help our kids out when we can, even if we don't have a lot extra right now? If I do feel guilty, it's because we've always tried to give the kids money whenever they needed it before. How can we just change things now? The dilemmas these parents face are typical of the problems faced by many parents today, including stepfamilies and families headed by single parents. Particularly affected are parents who have enough money to live comfortably, but who are unsure about how to approach a number of issues where the kids and money are concerned. These dilemmas generally revolve around two central issues. 1. How can I handle day-to-day money matters that involve the kids in a way that everyone in the family, kids and parents alike, feels is reasonable and fair? At the same time, 2. What steps can I take to make sure my kids acquire the basic money skills and attitudes they need in order to be responsible and productive adults? These are not easy questions to answer. Sometimes the means we choose to make the day-to-day interactions smoother seem to contradict the goal of teaching the kids responsibility for their future. Parenthood was once much simpler. Parents raised their kids the same way they had been raised themselves. Their children would go on to do the same. Society and the world moved more slowly. Changes happened over generations. In earlier times, kids worked and helped out in many ways. They milked cows, fed chickens, and collected the eggs. Older kids plowed and harvested. There generally was little excess income. If all the family's efforts brought in enough to feed, clothe, and shelter its members, that was success. Anything extra was cause for congratulations. Spending decisions in this environment were easy. At first, even with the change to an industrial economy, kids continued to work. They marched off, often to the same factories as their dads, and brought home their pay. Parents, however, got more in the bargain than help with the milking or a paycheck from a factory. They also benefited from a system that taught kids responsibility at an early age. It happened naturally, based on the necessity of the times. Kids learned the relationship between money and working. They were able to understand money's value because they had to work to earn it. What money they did have, they learned to respect and handle with care. A kid lucky enough to own a bike took care of it. Some of today's parents may remember their own childhood as being simpler. Their parents had few conflicts about how much to give the kids, when to give it, when to say no, because there wasn't much extra to give out, and because every kid worked at some kind of a job or other. Parents knew that their kids would learn the value of money and how to handle it. Parents today who want their children to acquire a set of values and capabilities that can make money a useful and satisfying part of their lives must take deliberate steps to see that these goals are met. Where necessity once taught many of these values and realities to kids, The gap left by changes in the world of our children requires that specific efforts be made on their behalf. Setting forth ways for parents to accomplish these objectives is the purpose of this book.